Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. And today we're talking about managing bad employee behavior. Now, managing bad employee behavior is an enormous challenge for many of us. It's always a quite a confronting thing to do, and we're never quite sure what the resulting situation is going to be. But I've developed a plan for you to use in your practice so you become very comfortable with these discussions and you can plan them out well enough that you can go in quite confidently. So let's jump into my PowerPoint presentation. First of all, when I'm talking about bad behavior by employees, I'm sure I don't need to describe what I'm actually talking about. But here are a few prompts just to spark your memory if you've ever worked with people like this in the past. First of all, gossiping. That's a classic poor behavior by team members and can be quite damaging to the team itself as well. Blaming, you've got those people that don't allow people to get away with mistakes and they're like, you did this wrong and now I've got to do this and it's more work for all of us and you're a bad employee. Rudeness, disrespecting of other people's requests of them, of their position and longevity in the practice. Avoidance of responsibilities, they just do what they can barely get away with and remain employed, and they're avoiding all other responsibilities, especially those that are a shared responsibility for the whole team, for example, taking the bins out every week. Lack of punctuality, maybe they're starting to turn up late every morning or leave a few minutes before finish time, official finish time. Don't you love that picture there of that person just mocking the other person? Terrible. This is quite an apathetic looking employee herself. They become unreliable. So you ask them to do something and they just don't go ahead and get them done. You can't actually rely on the fact they're going to deliver a strong performance all the time. Maybe they have just got generally bad performance. They're lacking in their patient communication skills or the customer service you're delivering. Lack of response to coaching and training. So despite the fact that you've tackled these issues and you've encouraged this team member on how to improve, they're still not doing anything about it. Maybe they're very resistant to change. Oh, this is the way I've always done things. I don't know why I have to do things differently now. Maybe they have got a negative attitude and they're going around spreading this negative attitude and it's affecting your other team members. And the classic, yes, but. So we need to get this new thing done in the practice. Yeah, but I don't think it's going to work very well. Yeah, but we've tried it in the past at other practices that I've worked at and it just doesn't fly. Or your performance is lacking. Yeah, but I've been really tired because you've got us overworked. You're not giving enough breaks. So the yes, but. So when we are faced with this kind of employee, as I say, we resist that space quite normally. And understanding why we resist it can help us accept that there's a resistance there, but forge forward anyway. So one of the reasons why we resist this sort of situation is that we do like to be liked. None of us want to be the person that has a difficult conversation with somebody, making them feel uncomfortable. There's a chance that I may not be liked at the end of that discussion. So we like to be accepted. We enjoy giving good news and we avoid giving bad news. We find it easier to compliment than we do criticize. And we don't like to be the reason why somebody else is upset, emotional, or angry. Another reason why we resist being upfront with these sort of people in our organization is that we fear the response we're going to garner. So we wonder how badly the other person may react to our bad news, and that imagining becomes the reason why we try to avoid the discussion in the first place. What if they cry? What if they get angry? What if they don't even care what I've said? What if I'm unclear about what I've said and they don't quite get it? And that brings me to the next reason why we resist being upfront, and is that we fear making the whole situation worse. We are afraid of fumbling through our delivery of the bad news and making a bad situation even worse. And so all of these reasons are playing around subconsciously and consciously in our minds when we're thinking about approaching a bad employee. And that's where that anxiety rises and we start to fret about the way it's going to be managed and the outcome of it, it makes the whole situation pretty difficult and it makes us feel extremely uncomfortable. So what I want you to do, if that is what's happening within yourself, is accept that you are going to feel uncomfortable about approaching this kind of employee. Those feelings of discomfort are normal, and they're an actual indicator that you are a beautiful human person. You don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable, upset, or angry. You don't want to manage a situation badly when it's going to impact another human being. So it's a sign of your humanity. So that's good. So those feelings of discomfort are a good thing about your character. So therefore, if we can accept that those feelings are going to come with this kind of scenario and accept that they're quite normal and possibly a good thing, then we can embrace that discomfort as normal and it will diminish the intensity of it. Once we acknowledge something within ourselves, it can help diminish the intensity of it, which is what we want. But even if you feel ridiculously tense in the situation, things do get easier with time. Everything is difficult before it is easy. Now, in my world, I have had many difficult discussions over the years with team members and employees. And what I have found is that paying attention to the fears that I was feeling about how I was going to roll out that discussion and what the employee's reaction was going to be, all the fears around that did me no good whatsoever. It just set me on a path of further avoidance of that big discussion. And we all know what that's like. We know we have to have this discussion. I'm having it today. And so you fret all day, and then the opportunity never quite arises. And so then you put it off and you don't sleep that night. I'm going to have it tomorrow. You don't sleep that night. You play out all the different scenarios in your brain of what their responses could be and then what your response to their response would be. And then the following day comes and you avoid it again. You're like, damn it, now it's getting harder and harder to front up to that big discussion. So when you feel those fears rising up inside of you, again, accept that you're going to feel uncomfortable. But when the fears rise up, keep in mind that what fear is false evidence appearing real. You're not actually contemplating a reality. You're contemplating an imagining. And make a promise to yourself, I'm only going to deal with what I know is real, and start to focus on the positive result that you want and what you can do to make that happen. So rather than fretting around the fears, get those thoughts out of your head and instead go, well, what is the result that I want and what do I need to do in order to help that result come true? And so then you go come from a space of action rather than worry and fret. So let's prepare for success. First of all, never handle a sensitive situation while you're angry and emotional. These angry and emotional feelings push out reason and fairness, and we've likely all had those discussions in the past. Part of the reason why we fear having these sort of confrontational discussions in the future is because we've had them in the past and we know that they went very, very badly. But quite often it's because we have tackled them in the heat of the moment when we're not thinking particularly rationally. Angry people are only concerned with how the situation affects them, and the needs of others are then ignored. And so it's not going to be an effective communication that you have with that employee. So if you're feeling angry, allow yourself time to calm down and tackle that communication later on. Another important step is to consider the situation from the other person's perspective. How would you react if the roles were reversed and someone was coming to you with the same level of concerns that you're putting on to them? So your empathetic approach will soften your message to this employee without actually diminishing its importance. The employee response. Now, this is a really important step in becoming comfortable and accepting the process. And one important element of this, if you can hear some work going on out the back, we've got a deck being built. So keep in mind that you don't actually have any control over the employee's response to this communication. And this is a part of just kind of extending free will to the other person. We sometimes want to structure the communication in such a way that the employee goes away skipping and smiling and going, I'm going to be a better person because of this. And it's quite an unrealistic expectation. They could have any range of responses. They could be defensive, sad, angry, abusive, that could be anything. And that is their right as another human being. So do whatever you can to prepare for the discussion in a way that it has a positive response. But if there's a negative response, allow it to be. Allow the recipient to react. Just as many of us have not learned how to deliver bad news, we also haven't yet learned how to accept bad news and receive it. So if you need to, ask that person to go out and go for a bit of a walk, get a clear head, calm down a bit, and then re-meet up again later on that day or the following day when everyone's a bit more calm. But allow a negative response if they have it. We're not all brilliant at receiving bad news. So here's the five-step process of how I suggest you tackle bad behavior in your employees. Number one, listen. Listen to the other person's perspective. Find out where they're at. Organize a time to have a meeting with them. Sit them down and say, I thought it would be a good idea for us to have a chat about your role in the practice and how you're moving through your responsibilities and performance. What is your perspective? How have you been feeling and how do you feel about the work? Find out what's going on for them. They may offer up important, relevant information right from the get-go. I've been really struggling because my partner is going through a bunch of anxiety. I'm losing a lot of sleep talking to them throughout the evening. Maybe they've got a child in school that's really struggling and they're very stressed about it. Maybe they've developed a condition where they're not getting enough sleep or they're developing anxiety within themselves. So first of all, listen to their side of things. Step number two, bear witness. And this is where it is an important thing to be able to tell that employee specifically with great clarity where your concerns lie. It is not great to just say, I've noticed you've developed a bad attitude. That's not going to garner a really positive response. It is more likely going to raise the other person's defenses. And whatever you can do to avoid raising their defenses in this communication is helpful, because when someone is defensive, they can't see the other person's perspective. That puts blinders over them. So bear effective witness. So that would look something like this. I have had a couple of patients complain that they felt that your communication to them was abrupt and rude. Can you remember there was a patient, Alan Bond? You saw him on Monday and you were going through the treatment plan with him or the payment plan with him. He felt that communication was rude. And remember yesterday there was Sally Smith. She came in and she was a few minutes late to her appointment time. And she felt that your communication with her was again quite rude and abrupt. I overheard you gossiping with Sally the other day about Joe. It could also be, I've noticed that you have started to arrive a few minutes late every morning. So bear witness, give them specific scenarios so they know exactly what you're talking about. It's not a time to be broad or vague. We need to get really specific to help that person truly understand what the concerns are. The third element is feedback. Describe the specific scenarios and then ask them for their feedback. Do you remember that interaction? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember gossiping to Sally about Joe yesterday? What are your thoughts around that? And gain their response. Give them a voice. Many times people, unless they're listened to and feel like they're heard, will not then be ready to hear you. So you listen to them first. You give them that space first, and then they are more likely to be considerate of what you've got to say to them. Then together, develop a plan. And this is like a reverse engineer process. So let them know, this is what I would like. You know that our team culture, one of our important elements is no gossiping. So what I want is to not see gossiping anymore. What can we do to make sure that that doesn't happen and help get that person to help you develop the plan of, and if they're part of developing the plan itself, they will have a greater sense of responsibility over that plan and much happier to roll it out. What I would like is to see all of your interactions with patients to be extremely professional and polite and helpful. That's what I want to see. What needs to happen prior to that? Do you think you need any additional training? What can I do to support that process for you? So you develop a plan. If there are going to be key things to be put in place, such as training or doing a JPPS online training course, such as the JPPS delivering great customer service course, then I'm going to go ahead and put that down in the plan as something that's going to be done. Otherwise, that plan is going to be, this is the ideal scenario that I'm searching for as an employer or as a manager of you. And we're going to meet up again and make sure that you are achieving that goal. Either you're going to be needing additional work, but I can see there's an effort there. You're achieving satisfaction of that, or you're doing it magnificently and I couldn't be happier. So we're going to develop a plan moving forward, and that plan is going to be written up. The plan is going to include what the concerns are specifically, what the goal is specifically, and what the plan is getting there. That documentation of this is going to provide even further clarity for the employee. And that's something else that I've learned over the years, that my takeaway and perception of what the communication was with this kind of situation has sometimes in the past been wildly different with what the employee took away. For me, it was enormously important. For the employee, it was just a random suggestion that didn't need to have too much urgency placed on it. And I think, gosh, how did they come away with such a different take on what that conversation was? So documenting the plan and then making sure that you've got a copy, email of that plan out to the employee or hand it over to them in physical format is going to make sure that you've got the level of importance, urgency, and clarity required for that employee to take this ball and run with it. And then the fifth step of this process is to provide whatever support's required. That support is creating the environment for that person to succeed, further clarifying if you feel like they're not getting it, making sure they do have that plan with them and they understand the sense of importance and urgency over their action and them tackling this important element of their performance. It is making sure that there's a follow-up visit, maybe in a week, maybe in a month, to make sure that you are in communication with them, to let them know you're achieving success with this, or no, you are not achieving success with this. What additional support do you need? What else can I do for you to help you be successful in this space? So that's the five-step process. Listen, bear witness, get feedback, develop the plan, and then provide the support moving forward. Make sure as well, if they're not improving pretty much straight away, bring them back in for another meeting and start to set out the consequences that are going to happen if things don't change. So if things don't improve, employee, if I don't see a turnaround in your behavior, as we've discussed, you'll be given a warning. You'll be given your last warning, after which you'll then be let go, or you'll be let go. Document these discussions. This is crucial, that you document this element of things and make sure that both sides truly understand it. But sometimes if push comes to shove and that employee is not shifting their behavior, then we need to lay down the law and say there are going to be consequences here if you don't step up. Something else I wanted to touch on as well is manage yourself. Our attitude going into these sort of discussions will either be helpful or unhelpful. And we can sometimes go in with the thought of, God, this employee is never going to change. They're so set in their ways. It's their character to be this way. Another way is going to the other end of the spectrum and going, oh, no, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out just perfect. Well, neither of these are helpful. Neither of them are totally accurate. So be honest with your assessment of the employee's behavior and what you see. So don't add in all this emotional untruths and responses to the situation. If they're turning up late every day, just say to yourself, they're turning up late every day. That's not great from a team perspective and their personal performance, and so I'm going to manage it. Rather than say, they're turning up late every day, they're just like this, it's just like when they gossip as well, they're generally bad. So get rid of those sort of editorializing of the situation. Just deal with the facts. Understand your responsibility as a manager or as a practice owner in creating the environment that that employee needs in order to achieve success. Don't just dump it all in their lap and say, just be better. I mean, maybe the environment that they were working within contributed to them becoming a bad performer. So make sure you are stepping up to your responsibility. Provide the clarity, effective communication, and support that that employee needs in order to reach your expectations. Be proactive and support the process. So don't delay tactics, don't avoid the communications, don't avoid the follow-up meetings that you've assured this employee will have in order to support them. Be proactive, bold, and support the process moving forward. Also, be consistent. If you say you're not okay with a certain behavior, such as the employee not turning up on time every morning, don't sometimes be okay with it. So this is a wonderful example of you've had a sit-down communication with an employee. I've noticed you turning up late by a few moments every day or many days. What's going on for you? I'm telling you that it's not desirable behavior. If we've put a plan in place, we're going to make sure we do turn up on time every day. So your 9 o'clock start isn't you rocking up into the car park at 9 o'clock in your car. Your 9 o'clock start is when you are standing there in uniform, ready to tackle the day. We've been very clear about the expectations. And then when you came in a couple of minutes late on Monday again, I called you out on it. I said, oh, I've just noticed it's 3 minutes past nine and, you know, you've only just walked in the front door. Just a reminder that what we spoke about is important to me. So let's try again for tomorrow. And then it happens tomorrow and they turn up on time. And it happens the following day and it turns up on time. And then the following day, they turn up 2 minutes late. But you say, oh, they've been okay for the first couple of days or those subsequent couple of days. And this was just a one-off, I'm sure. I'm not going to tackle it this time. But then the following day, what they've got in their brain is, gosh, the employer was really thinking about this at the start, but they let me slide a little bit yesterday, so maybe it's not as important for tomorrow. So be consistent. If you're saying this is an issue, make it an issue every single time. That's what develops the importance and urgency and the accountability, the much-needed accountability for that employee. And remember, it gets easier all the time. This has absolutely been my experience. So what has been proven to me again and again is that the anxiety and trepidation that you feel in the build-up to these kind of discussions reduces dramatically with every time you tackle it and embrace it well. My confidence developed very quickly after only 3 or 4 difficult discussions. I couldn't quite believe what a difference my personal experience, my physical experience of entering into these discussions, how much it improved after just a few number of discussions. So the increasing comfort I felt in initiating difficult discussions really did surprise me. I didn't have the sleepless night beforehand. I didn't have that resistance all the way in the build up to the discussion. I did it really well, and it doesn't always mean the result was really well, but I embraced all the stuff that goes along with these difficult discussions, and I had the discussion anyway. And after doing that 3 or 4 times, my physical experience of the resistance, the anxiety, the fears, the trepidation diminished dramatically, and it will for you too. So by embracing these difficult discussions, you need to have in your practice with your employees every now and again, you will hopefully discover, like me, that just after a handful of times, you're going to start experiencing the following wonderful benefits. You will approach these discussions calmly. Your mind will function well, and you will think more creatively about solutions. You will not try and rush these discussions, but instead deal with all the issues at the time, ensuring all sides of an issue are being heard and considered. And you won't feel that you must produce all the answers straight away, realizing you are free to contemplate and come back together for a follow-up meeting. This was a big thing for me as well as a leader. You don't need the answer in an instant. And usually the quick answer, if it's a complex issue, is not always going to be the best answer. And when you've had time to go away, contemplate, think of things from both sides and all angles, you end up coming up with a much more effective solution to an issue. So never feel like you have to deliver the answer to everything in the moment. So I hope that you find my five-step process and the supporting information around that on your self-awareness and what you experience throughout a difficult discussion really does help you tackle the bad behavior if it's being exhibited by any of your employees. If you require any further assistance with it, please do contact me and role play it out with a family member or a friend. Get used to saying the words, get used to stepping through the process. And that's also going to be our daily focus for this coming week. Our daily focus is going to be a reminder that everything is difficult before it's easy, with a particular focus around this. So by embracing the difficult discussions, those three benefits I just listed are going to be emailed out to you every morning for the coming week. So it helps you look forward to living out the tremendous benefits when you embrace the concept of it's everything is difficult before it's easy. I wish you very good luck with it all, and I hope you have a wonderful lunch and learn today, or whatever day you choose to go ahead and do the lunch and learns. Any topics you'd like me to cover in the future, let me know. I'd be thrilled to tackle them. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Bye.